On a cold day in the spring of 2005, my wife Cheryl and I drove from central Minnesota out to candidate here at this church. Most of you that were here at this time maybe didn't realize that's what we were doing. You probably thought we were just pulpit supply that Sunday, and I was okay with that. I was soon to finish seminary, and I wanted exposure, at least to check out some possibilities, but this church was smaller than anything that Cheryl and I had been part of, and it was in the opposite direction of where we thought we would be pursuing a call, but we were willing to go and see. And something changed as Cheryl and I drove back home that day. We both unexpectedly left a piece of our hearts here at Bethlehem Covenant Church. Now, 18 years later, we continue to experience a church that is engaged and vibrant and sacrificial as we experience this committed bunch of Jesus followers together who desire to reach out into our rural communities and impact the lives of others with the generous, transforming, renewing love of Jesus Christ. So how does this happen? When my wife and Cheryl and I sat down to pray after we first visited, we both sincerely asked, Lord, why? Why this church? It's pretty small. And Lord, it is so rural. And Lord, it seems like they're struggling at this time. And it's as if the Lord said to us, here's why. He said, yes, it's small. Yes, it's rural. And yes, they are struggling right now. And they have willing hearts. And God will do amazing things with willing hearts. Your heart is at the center of this series on spiritual growth. It's called Aligned for Life. And when your heart is willing, you begin to align with the movement of the Holy Spirit and the leading of the Spirit to grow deeper in Christ and to move further in the mission that He has called you to. Together as a church. All of this we do for one purpose, and that is for God's glory. So think of spiritual growth as hanging out with Jesus. The longer you do it, the more you get to know Him. And the more you get to know Jesus, the more you become like Jesus and begin to act like Jesus and live like Jesus. And God's desire is that you share fully in that abundant life that Jesus has promised as you grow and reflect God's glory out into the world. The Apostle John writes in his first letter, chapter 1, verse 3, he says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle John, he was one of the 12 original disciples. He hung out with Jesus for 3 full years, every day. And when we think about trying to experience that kind of fellowship that John has, we wonder, is that even possible? And John is saying, yes, it is. How is that possible? Well, it's possible because the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, actually lives within us. We can have, in a sense, even a more abundant relationship and fellowship with Jesus because Jesus actually, as a believer, lives in us. So the goal of spiritual growth is this life-changing intimacy with God, and we grow through our experience of the Holy Spirit. So when we do that, we become mature. And that's the title of this series, Aligned for Maturity. Anybody want to get mature? What does maturity mean? Well, pastor and author Tony Evans, he defines it like this. He says, spiritual maturity is the ability to consistently view and live life from the perspective of the Spirit rather than from the flesh, with the result that we maximize our God-given capacity to bring Him glory. In other words, when you are mature, then you begin to see things from God's perspective. We say heaven's perspective. You see things through the eyes of God. You think God-inspired thoughts, and you act according to God's purposes. So we actually start to experience that which we pray when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done. That is what it means to grow and mature. So from that description, how are you doing on the maturity scale? So we might think of it in three ways, three levels of spiritual maturity. One is a spiritual child. Thank you. Number two is a spiritual teenager. And number three would be a spiritual adult or that mature person. So a child, a teen, an adult. So no matter how you describe yourself, we all have room for growth in each of these stages. So we need to keep growing. So where are you on that scale? I'm not going to make you raise your hand. Are you ready? Set. Grow. So I described what God revealed about his church 18 years ago, and I believe that hasn't changed. I believe that you continue to remain a congregation with willing hearts. And that's good, because if we are going to continue to grow as a church, if we are going to continue our outreach, that means that each one of us needs to mature, especially now. Author Jim Davis and Michael Graham use the phrase the great de-churching. They're describing this phenomena of people leaving the church in droves. And I think that's a phrase that we're going to hear more and more of in the coming years. And I'm reminded, even this morning, that that is not always the case. And in some places like Bethlehem Covenant Church, we actually experience the Spirit breaking out and people coming. So their research is based on Sunday worship attendance, and I want you to understand that it's important to be here. It's important to join us online. Good to see you today. But healthy spirituality, mature Christianity, is not based solely on Sunday attendance. My pastor friend used to say, "It's Monday, and Sunday's coming." Kind of that idea that better get ready, get your message ready, because the worship experience is happening. But I've come to realize that it's Sunday and Monday is coming, meaning that Sunday is, in a sense, what prepares us for the week ahead, which is of primary importance. So Monday is coming. It will require more than that Sunday focus. It will require Monday being the light of Christ in our jobs, and on Tuesday in the school, and on Wednesday gatherings here at midweek as the community comes together, and then Thursday at the cafe as you're having coffee and sharing about your life and work, and Friday at the game when you're cheering on this, team, and Saturday ice fishing. Yep, ice is coming. And then we gather back on Sunday. Why? To celebrate all that God has been doing throughout that week and to begin to enjoy how God is maturing and growing us in our work ahead. So we need to be growing and experiencing the fullness of the life of Christ in our lives. And when we encounter people who need to know Jesus and his grace, they will experience that through you. So how's this going to happen? The Apostle Paul, he encouraged his readers to follow his example as he followed the example of Christ in 1 Corinthians 11. So we need to be so in tune with the Holy Spirit in us that we reflect Christ on the outside in how we speak to others and how we live every day. So I believe a gospel that is the opposite of the one that has led to de-churching is one that focuses on this intimate daily relationship with Christ. And that means a gospel that encourages us to live in such a way that Jesus is experienced by others through us. And that means to be the church, we need to keep growing. The writer in Hebrews, he encourages us, let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. There's that word mature. Say that with me. Mature. Mature. He's saying we need to grow up. And to do that, we need to show up with Jesus. So do you remember those willing hearts I talked about 18 years ago? They taught me something. You have to be willing to sometimes do the hard work. And spiritual growth requires an effort. So what about it? Is your heart still willing? If there's there is this workshop coming next Sunday for 2 hours, and it has the potential to make a huge impact, I think, in our lives and in our spiritual growth. It's the HMS workshop that I talked about, but it helps us identify how God has equipped you individually with gifts to serve and to grow in Christ, but also as the church together. And I believe that it is going to be one of those markers for the life of Bethlehem Church. So I really do encourage you to be part of that. In his book called Kingdom Living, Tony Evans, he writes, there's three stages of spiritual growth. Number one, childhood. Number two, adolescence. Three, adulthood or maturity. And although these don't necessarily align with the physical stages of growth, they help us understand the growth process. So before we go into these aspects, I want to give us a vision of what maturity actually looks like. What does it look like to be a spiritually mature person? And I just want to share the life of a pastor that I know. This pastor serves locally in a manufacturing company as an informal chaplain. He's hired as a Christian pastor in the role of counseling employees. That's his income stream. His real job is actually pastoring a small town house church plant, which he doesn't get paid for. He recently baptized over half a dozen adults as a result of the ministry that he's doing and the outcome that God is doing. And he is fulfilling his call, listening to the Holy Spirit in what he is called to do in his life. Now, his brother, he serves in another congregation in a different state. He serves a large, thriving church. And that pastor commented to me that the Lord has blessed his church. But he said, the real hero is my brother. And why? Because he left a good staff position in a good church to follow God's invitation to do difficult kingdom work in advancing the gospel, because that place needed a good pastor. He is a Jesus follower with a willing heart. So mature spiritual growth requires a willing heart. Let me say that again. Mature spiritual growth requires a willing heart. Say willing heart. Thank you. But it doesn't require being a pastor. Long before I was a pastor, I was a spiritual child. And I thank God that I had spiritually mature people to guide me along that path of adolescence. And it was a stage that, as a spiritual teenager or adolescence, that I was a spiritual child at 25 years old when I came to faith. And then I became a spiritual adolescent. And at that stage, people would ask me, are you a pastor? And I would say, what? Why would you say that? I'm not a pastor. And that was probably a good thing at that time. But it should tell you two things. My adolescent stage of spiritual growth was far later than my physical stage by about 20 years. And when I was apparently old enough to look like a pastor. Even so, even if you're a spiritual late bloomer, you can grow. And the second thing it tells us is you can't skip stages. Spiritual maturity takes time. So we need to grow and become spiritually mature. And sometimes it helps to know where you are in your message. You know, when it comes to spiritual growth, you always think of the pastor as being the mature one, but the truth is we all need to continue to grow, no matter where we are on this life stage. And it is because of people like you, because of the church, that encourages me to continue to step in and continue to grow. If I can paraphrase Luke 10, Jesus said, the workers are few in the harvest. I think I would paraphrase it this way. The harvest is plentiful, the willing are few. So pray for willing hearts for the harvest. Pray like the patriarch David. He said, Lord, give me a willing heart. So are you ready with willing hearts? I'm going to take a look at the three stages of spiritual growth. Help us identify maybe where you are in each stage, and then what is the next step. So the first stage of spiritual growth is childhood. You know, when we hear all the children up here in worship sharing, we think of spiritual children, but that isn't really what it means to be a spiritual child. What it means to first come to faith in Jesus, to put your faith in Christ and saying, Jesus, I believe, and then you are transformed from death into life. You become a new creation. You are born anew as a follower of Jesus. And at that stage, when you first come to faith, you are a spiritual infant. So when we are in this stage, that requires that we have others who are walking with us. The Apostle John, he writes in chapter 2, verse 14, I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. Now, Pastor Greg, he shared a story with us about his coming to faith when he was 3 years old. He said he was standing around the corner in the kitchen listening to his mom share the salvation story with another kid, and he secretly prayed back behind the corner to trust Jesus in his life. So at 3 years old, Pastor Greg became a spiritual child. When Katie shares a message with the kids, she wants them to know one thing for certain, that they are loved by God, that Jesus loves them. And we want to know that Jesus loves you. Sometimes that's the greatest news that we can ever hear, and sometimes that's as much as we can hear. He writes, I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. So it's at this stage we have this recognition that our sins are forgiven and we are set free. We have new life in Christ. It's a wonderful place to be. You experience what John writes in chapter 3. He says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, for that is who we are. So at this stage, baby Christians are dependent. They're dependent on the church. They're dependent on others to help them walk and live and grow and learn the good news of the gospel. And so when difficulties arise, however, spiritual children are shaken. They're, in a sense, they need a believer to come around them and encourage them and comfort them and help them to grow. They are also good witnesses at this stage because they're excited about this new life in Christ and they're not afraid to tell others about it. So they need the input and care of the church when they are spiritual children. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? We would expect that they would need some spiritual parenting. But if you are a believer and have been for a while now, and you are still a spiritual child, dependent on the church for your whole spiritual life, then you need to grow up. Spiritual children need to grow. In 1 Corinthians, the apostle writes, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. In other words, the apostle, he is saying that we need to be serious about growing into this next stage, which is the spiritual growth stage of adolescence. Anybody like being an adolescent? Well, if you are one, you probably do, so praise God. But it's a difficult stage for a believer because of this. You think that you know it all. You think you've got it down. This is a stage where you are, in a sense, growing in this spiritual strength. You realize that you face an opposition and a real spiritual enemy, and you are committed to moving forward in your faith. The Apostle Paul writes, I am writing to you, young men, now this includes all genders, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you. In this stage, you're coming to terms with what the Christian life entails, and you are engaging the Word of God, and you are beginning to understand the power that is in the Word and the power that God has for you as you walk out this Christian life. You'll experience some victories, and that's a good thing, which encourages you to continue to move on. You also sometimes feel like you've got all the answers, that the rest of the church doesn't really know what they're doing, and you want to just continue to keep going. It is at this stage, however, that you also need mature believers to come alongside of you and to walk with you and to encourage you and to continue to keep you on the path. It is also, I believe, in this stage when you can face some difficulties and failures and losses, because we don't win every spiritual battle. And sometimes we have to take stock of that. Sometimes we have to turn back and repent and begin to start afresh. And it's at this time when mature believers can come alongside you and need to come alongside you and encourage you to pick yourself up and go again, to rely on the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and go again. And as we are beginning to grow in this stage, the Word of God is beginning to infiltrate our whole lives, and we're beginning to understand what it means to follow Jesus through the difficulties. And then we come to stage three, which is spiritual adulthood or spiritual maturity. The apostle, he writes to spiritual adults, calling them fathers. Now again, this can be gender neutral, so mature believers. And he says, I am writing to you fathers because you know him who is from the beginning. And he writes that exact same phrase twice, because you know him who is from the beginning. And it simply means that there's this simple and profound truth that you know God. Not just that your sins are forgiven, not just the Word and the power that is in the Word, but an intimate relationship that has stood the test of time. You know God. And when you think of a person who is spiritually mature, you think of this depth of peace, this humility, this understanding that goes beyond circumstances, this confidence in God's ways. They don't need someone to tell them about God's faithfulness because they know God's faithfulness firsthand through all of life's experiences. And a spiritually mature person has the scars to prove it. Tony Evans describes this mature person like the marriage of two people who have been together for many years. You know, they're on this level of communication which kind of happens even without speaking. They often just look at each other and know what the other is thinking. So if you see me looking over to Cheryl often, that's why. There's spiritual awareness that develops as you grow and become mature. It involves a kind of communication, again, like marriage, that takes place without words. And for someone today, this may be completely new. This whole idea that you can begin to know and understand God and God's ways and even how God thinks through a relationship with God. The Apostle Paul, he describes wisdom that doesn't come from the world in 1 Corinthians 2. Listen to what he writes. Verse 9, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, all this unknowable stuff because, you know, God knows, but I don't. He says this in verse 10, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. That's incredible that we can know God in such a way, an unknowable way, that God actually reveals to us as believers. And that's the kind of spiritual maturity we seek. When we actually think God's thoughts and know God's plans. In verse 16, Paul says, who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him, instruct God? Nobody, right? Who does? And then he says this, but we have the mind of Christ. In other words, we actually think the thoughts of Christ. Spiritual maturity means that you have this close relationship, so close that you hear God speak, that you have visions of how God is working, and that you think the thoughts of God. And this isn't going to come from a spiritual development program. It's only going to come from a relationship that is intimate and long going over time. So how do you know when you're growing spiritually, when you're growing into maturity? Well, you might hear a message like today, and God's word is speaking to you beyond anything that I say or any connections I make. I've had people at the end of the church say, Pastor, you really spoke to me when you said something. And I'll say in my mind, no, I didn't say that. But God uses that to speak to your heart. Some of you have said, boy, Pastor, you are really speaking to me. It's like, well, yeah, I'm speaking to all of you, but you know, it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you through his word. Praise God. So that's this level of development and spiritual maturity when the Lord begins to speak to you through his word. And I hope the Holy Spirit is doing that even today. You're mature when you are in step with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit." You begin to experience the fruit of the Spirit in your life. These aren't things that you can make happen. These are things that happen because of your relationship with Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, we use a phrase in the church that's not common in secular conversations. It's called spiritual discernment. This idea of discernment or understanding, deciphering the will of God in any given situation. And it's revealed by the Holy Spirit. Discernment is developed over time through this deepening relationship with God. It's a spiritual gift, but it requires maturity, and it's deeply needed in the church today. So how do we know it's time to build? Well, we believe that that has been discerned through the Spirit, that the Lord is leading a church out in rural Minnesota when the whole country is talking about de-churching to build and grow and go forward with the good news of the gospel. The scripture says in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And here's why I'm encouraged at Bethlehem Church in this season. Because I see you as a group of committed, spiritual, growing, and developing children of every age. Your sacrifice to come alongside grade school children in this newly designed Sunday school program where you have worked hard to try to help kids engage and learn and grow as a group. Where you invest in Wednesday Bible blast, so that kids can learn about the Bible and have the opportunity to come to faith and become children of God, know that Jesus loves them. I'm encouraged because you watch over spiritual children. I'm encouraged because you remain open in all areas of ministry to those of any age who come with a new relationship with Christ and who depend on you, depend on the church to help them grow, and you rise to the challenge. And you're a church that's willing to embrace the spiritual adolescents. You sometimes wrestle with the struggles that they face and the challenges they bring, and you're ready to step in and help navigate those spiritual battles that require strength and courage and patience. That's you. And you demonstrate grace when spiritually young believers of all ages challenge your ideas and share their independence and have expectations that are unrealistic and demanding, and yet you are patient and kind and willing to walk alongside them and help them to know and to grow and stick with them as that happens together. And I'm encouraged by you because you show spiritual depth and maturity that strengthens not only this church but believers beyond. You sacrificially pray multiple times a week with multiple groups. You lead small group adults and are embracing this knife group model as we seek to grow spiritually mature disciples in a new season. And you sacrifice for the future because you experienced God's faithfulness in your life and you want others to know that faithfulness in the generations to come. And you're not satisfied with growing yourselves, but you want the world around you to experience the love and the joy of being a new child in Christ and being a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And I'm encouraged because God is doing great things with your willing hearts. The director of Missional Vitality of the Covenant Church, Mary Hendrickson, was visiting me in Chicago this week. And she is saying how excited she is to come out here and do the Heart, Mind, Strength workshop. And I told her that I broke a hallowed rural ministry cultural rule. There are such things. I scheduled a workshop on deer hunting season opener. I acknowledge that that was not my best move. And yet, she really hopes that you will be here next Sunday. She really hopes that you will begin to experience more of who you already are. She said, "You serve a really good church." And I said, Mary, you've never been out there. How do you know? She says, well, you've told me a lot of things about your church. And I've visited a lot of churches around the Covenant. And believe me, Tim, she said that, believe me, Tim, you have a really good church. And I challenged her a bit with that. But you know, God does amazing things with willing hearts. And I still see willing hearts. And when you're willing to make the effort to grow closer in your relationship with Him, then God answers that prayer. God engages you. God allows you to experience that growth as you move from being a spiritual infant into spiritual adolescence and on into spiritual maturity. And you discover what it means to be designed for a purpose, to be gifted for life and ministry, and to be part of all that God is doing. The harvest is plentiful. The willing are few. And I believe you are the willing. So I'm inviting you to invest in your spiritual growth next weekend. Put on orange. Come to worship for a great message that Mary's going to bring. Bring potluck and have a warm, hearty meal afterwards. And for 2 hours, we'll learn about what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength as the body of Christ. And we'll discover more of who God has called us to be. So one question. Are you still willing? I invite you to turn to the person next to you and ask, are you willing? If you are, get ready, get set, grow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for willing hearts. Thank you for a church that loves you deeply and loves one another. Thank you for Bethlehem Covenant Church. But Lord, thank you most of all that you call us to be your children, that you call us into this deep and intimate relationship with you that doesn't stop growing. And Lord, you call us to walk with one another as spiritual adolescents. Lord, to test what it means to know you and to do your will, to what it means to walk in your power and your grace and your love. And Lord, what it means to become a spiritually mature adult. Lord, having experienced much of life and recognizing that no matter what, you are faithful. And that comes across even today, Lord. No matter what, you are faithful. You are trustworthy. You are loving. You are kind. And Lord, your good purposes prevail. So Lord, we ask that as a church, we will continue to grow and mature. And as we do, Lord, not only does this church experience your love, but also the world around us would know and experience your love. And if you are here today or watching online and you have not yet become even a spiritual child, if you don't know what it means to have a relationship with God, then I invite you to step into that through faith in Jesus Christ, a faith that trusts and builds and grows through this abiding relationship. And I ask, if that's you today, if you're ready to take that step, it can begin with a simple prayer, a simple willingness of heart and saying, Jesus, and just pray, Jesus, forgive me. I know I am a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross. I believe. Lord, fill me with your life, with your joy, with your peace. And Lord, teach me to walk with you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And if that's you, celebrate. You are a child of God today. And for each of us, no matter what stage you're in, continue to grow in your relationship as you become mature followers.